our first week back upstairs after just running our summer program evening services downstairs. So it's nice to be back in a bigger room. And obviously, we're still bringing the summer weather with us, so that's even better. So yeah. Just for you that are not aware, I am 6 months pregnant, and the chair is just in case. I've never preached sitting down before, but hopefully I'll be okay and I won't need to use it. But just in case, sometimes you need a wee bit of a rest. but I'm looking forward to just sharing a little bit of what's on my heart this week. I thought we'd look maybe for a few weeks at God's call. And particularly we come to the autumn term, and sometimes a lot of the teaching in our church is about refocusing. You know, we've had our summer holiday, well, most of us, and we're now looking to the autumn stretch up till Christmas. I don't know if anyone started their Christmas shopping yet. No, people are not thinking about that. But sometimes it's a really good time for us to be thinking about our faith journey and to be thinking about where we're at and just evaluating how things are doing. And one of the things I've been studying just fairly recently is how God calls men and women. And one particular story that I've been looking at is Exodus chapter 3, and it's the burning bush. And it's a really, really big text, Exodus 3, so I'm not going to be able to cover all of it tonight in this message, but I really hope that as we kind of journey together and look at the ways that God calls, particularly Moses, that maybe we can really take something away and really ask questions tonight about where we're at and are we listening to the call of God on our lives and what that really looks like. So if you've got your Bibles, if you want to open to Exodus chapter 3. And I'll just be reading from verse 1. Right through to verse 12. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And then he said, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cries because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression from which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your word that we've been able to read. And Lord, I pray that as we just unpack it, that you would just speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you know where each and every one of us is at, all at different places on this journey together. And I pray that you would just reveal more of yourself to us tonight, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This is a story that, particularly if you've been brought up in church, a lot of people are familiar with, because It's something you always get taught in Sunday school. You know, you all see the picture of Moses in the burning bush. And there was a movie made. I think it was The Prince of Egypt, a kind of Hollywood movie made about the story of Moses and his journey and his life so far. So it's kind of well known. But sometimes we don't always take a little bit of time as adults to go into a little bit more depth and have a little look at it and see what we can learn. So tonight, I just feel that this would be really good for us to look at, and very relevant as well, particularly to us living the Christian life and just journeying in our faith together. I don't know if you know a lot about Moses. If you might not be familiar with the story, you might be. But Moses is a man who, he has a big ancestry history, and he's well aware of that. You know, we hear of promises that were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he was kind of coming all the way through that. He was brought up in the palace, and the reason being for that is that the people, the Hebrews, were very much oppressed. They were getting far too numerous, far too big. Pharaoh started getting a little bit nervous that these people were just getting far too strong. And so he made a decision that he was going to send out orders to kill all the baby boys. And that's what he did. But somehow, somewhere, this little baby managed to just miss what was going on. His mother hid him in a basket, and he was found by the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh. And she took him into her own home, and she brought him up. So here's a man who was brought up in royalty. He was brought up in the palace. He would have had an incredible education and been very knowledgeable, very wise. And he also would have had great training when it comes to leadership abilities. But one of the things that he was aware of is that he wasn't an Egyptian, that he was actually a Hebrew. And sometimes when you see injustice done, particularly to your group of people, it just spurs something up within you. And he saw some injustice happening, and he just out of anger acted, and he actually killed someone. And he was seen by others, so he fled for his life. He killed another Egyptian, and he fled for his life. And so here we have the story kind of picking up where Moses has been in the wilderness. You know, he's kind of set up his own new life. He's got married, and he's got a job. He's a shepherd looking after sheep. And it's probably quite a quiet life. Just getting on with whatever you do, just an ordinary day. And here we have the Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, telling us a little bit about what he's up to. He's keeping his flock for his father-in-law, just getting about his business, doing his job. And they tell you exactly the location of where he is. And in the midst of all of this, this would have just been an ordinary day. You know, Moses wasn't away out looking for some supernatural encounter. You know, he was just doing what he does and what he does every day, doing his job. If you could think and looking back and think of all the people that God could have chosen for this task, he definitely would have had all the qualities to be the type of person that would be involved in going back to Egypt and speaking out up on behalf of the people for them to experience freedom. And we can understand all of that. But here he is, you know, 40 years later, he's just hanging out, kind of in exile himself, tending his father's sheep. And we're going to unpack a little bit more about what it looks like when God calls us, and particularly what it looked like when God called Moses, and how we can maybe take some of these kind of principles on board in our lives as we seek to follow God and to live out his life. And here we have him, an angel of the Lord, verse 2, appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Okay, and the messenger, the angel, other translations say messenger. When we have a little bit of interaction, we do hear God talking in the first person. So what we're actually seeing is Moses about to encounter the living God in an incredible way. But what's interesting is, as I said before, Moses is not looking for this type of experience. He's just getting on about his business. And it's more out of curiosity than anything else that he's drawn to this bush that's burning and it's not consumed. And it's a little bit unusual. And he's thinking, oh, I need to go and have a little look at this. This is just a bit weird, a bit different. you know, I've not seen anything like this before. And he goes over and takes a look. And as he goes over, he comes to this bush. And then this voice comes from within. And his name is called Moses, Moses. And he said, well, that's me. Here I am. I don't know if this particular stage, if he didn't know what he was about to encounter, or if he was curious, or when this voice came out, was he really freaked out? Or did he just freeze? But one thing he did know, that his name was called, that this supernatural experience, actually the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the Hebrew people, was calling his name. And here he is standing in his presence, but not being consumed. And from his knowledge and what he'd maybe heard about God, if you have an encounter with God face to face, you might not live because it's that intense. And so he hides his face away. And then the voice continues to come out and says, don't come near. Verse 5, take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. That's the first thing that God asked Moses to do. For Moses just to be aware of who it is that he's actually talking to. It's not like that this whole mountain at this particular stage is just a holy mountain. It's the fact that the living God is there. His presence is there, interacting with Moses, that makes this place holy. And when we come and we encounter God and we encounter God's presence, everything changes. Moses now is in a place of greatness. You know, here is the Creator God, the one who's promised to heal and to save. And here he is standing here on this ground, kneeling, taking his sandals off, and having this incredible experience. I don't know what he would have been feeling at this particular time, but one of the things that we need to know, that when God calls us, that we experience his presence. And when God calls us to do something, even if we're not sure, by the time we leave that place of his presence, we are sure and we know exactly who it is that we have been encountering. And just in case Moses was a little bit puzzled, because he's never had this kind of experience before, God takes the time to explain who he is. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he would have been aware of the history of the Hebrew people and the promises that would have been made to Abraham many, many years ago. And we can read about them in Genesis. And these things would have happened many, many years before this time actually took place. And so here's Moses now aware of who he's talking to. This is God. This is God. I don't know if you've ever experienced God's presence before in a way where you're either sitting or you're kneeling or you're just spending time and you're having this encounter. Isaiah describes a little bit of what that's like. He says, when he encounters God, woe is me, for I am undone, it says in the King James Version. It says lost in the ESV. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And you know, there's something incredible when we just come into God's presence and we just recognize our weaknesses, our frailty, of just who we are. We're just nothing when we come to God. But one of the most incredible things about coming into the presence of God is that it's not about us. It's all about him. And to have that experience and to have that encounter of God calling us is enough in itself to make us take a kind of wow kind of feeling. Sometimes it's even just hard to explain. I know when we think of God's presence and God calling us, I don't know if you've experienced God calling on your life, but as Christians, God calls us to himself when we make that commitment to follow him. But then once we make that commitment and we come into that relationship with Jesus, it doesn't stop there. You know, we have to take the time out to think, okay, God, what have you got planned for my life, you know, for the community in which I live? And God continues to speak in lots of different ways. God can speak through his audible voice. God can speak through reading scripture. God can speak through dreams. He can speak through other people, through prophecy. God can speak through circumstances in so many different ways. But there's something incredible when we can just come and just experience his presence. And a lot of us might not be able to say, oh, I've had a burning bush experience. But one of the things I love about God, and when we read the Bible, is that if you look at God calling lots of different individuals, is that no one story is the same. There's no one formula. You know, guys, the only way you're going to experience God is to go out and find a bush that's burning but is not consumed. That's not how God works. You know, for Moses, that was the particular part of creation that he used to speak to him, to call him. But for others, for us, it can be something different. But one of the things I do know is that when we come into God's presence, whether we seek it or whether we stumble across it, it can be either way. And that makes me just really take note of the grace of God, that sometimes we're not seeking and we're not looking, and God just stops us right where we are and speaks. What an incredible God that he would do that to us. Sometimes we're just too busy to listen. But it's by his grace that he would take that time. Other times, and I encourage you to do this, to be actively seeking his presence and to be spending time. But one of the things that I do know, and we can definitely learn from this story, is that when you encounter the living God and his presence, when you walk away, you will never be the same again. God's transforming power comes over him. So let's remember that when we are looking at calling, that God's presence is really important to take note of that. The second thing I want us to look at is the concern that God has before we go into a little bit of the commissioning of God. Sometimes, I can only really talk from my experience, but sometimes God can call us to into something or have a particular task or thing that he would like us to do. It could be a job, it could be somewhere to go, it could be interaction with our neighbours, it could be a conversation. God calls us to so many different things. He just chooses to use us and wants to use us. But one of the things that we need to recognise is that if we are really concerned about what's on God's heart, we take that time to spend with him and ask him, Lord, what is it that's on your heart? And when God calls us to something that sometimes we can seem is really big and a way out there, it's not always a shock, because as part of our Christian journey, lots of little seeds can be planted along the way. And one of the things we can note in this story is that that is exactly what's happened. You know, here's Moses, he's grown up in the palace. Okay, he's seen all the affliction of the Israelite peoples. He's seen the cruelty. He's seen the whipping and the lashing and the way that these people have been treated. And there's been compassion in his heart. Even though he might not have handled it in the right manner at that particular time as a young man, he's seen their pain. He's seen the misery of these people and just found the whole thing too much. And you can read early on, if you go back to the beginning of the story, on how he killed someone else when he saw the way they were treating the Hebrews. So here we have already in Moses' heart a passion for injustice. And when God comes to call Moses, if we look at verse 7, God is reiterating what is on his heart and saying, God, Moses, I'm calling you because I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And he's explaining to Moses what's on his heart. He said, I've heard the cries of these people. I'm really concerned. I've come down to rescue them and to bring them up. Everything that God promised Abraham has not been forgotten and shelved. And Moses would have been aware of this promise. So here we have the concern of God before we go on to the commission. And when I say promise, God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made it to Abraham. And it involved land, and it involved descendants, offspring, and it involved blessing. And sometimes when we have a promise from God, or God shows us that something is going to happen and reveals something to us supernaturally, I don't know how impatient you are, or if you just want something to happen just right now. But sometimes when we think that things are not happening, or we get frustrated in church when we think, "God, you said you're going to do this, and I haven't seen it happen yet," we think that God doesn't care, and that God's going to break his promises. But we need to remember that our timescale is not the timescale that God is operating to. And God's timing is absolutely perfect. Peter tells us that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us. God's timescale is different from ours. His ways are above ours, and it's sometimes hard to comprehend. But we should never, ever be in doubt that God cares, that God has compassion, and that God is concerned for his people. And his desire more than anything else is to rescue and to save this world from sin. And one of the challenges that we have to is how patient are we? I remember just even as a young person, God revealing things to myself and showing, it was quite incredible. He showed me a picture of ways he was going to use me, which actually didn't happen for another 10 years. And sometimes you think, wow, that's a long time. But then when you look at the timing of these things that have happened, it's perfect. God's timing is absolutely perfect. But one of the things that we just need to recognize is that God hasn't abandoned us and moved on to somebody else. When God commissions us into the plans and purposes that he has for us, it shouldn't be too much of a shock. Because when we look at God's timing, it means we're ready. I don't know, can anyone understand that? God's timing is perfect. I think Moses might have been a little bit overwhelmed at this incredible task that God has set and this calling that was here. And we won't have time to unpack the whole conversation, but I really encourage you to go away and read right up to chapter 4, this whole dialogue that he has with God. About how this is all going to happen, because it's a way out there. But one of the things I would encourage you to know, that when God calls us, he places the things that are on his heart on our heart. And it's all perfect preparation for his timing and what that looks like. In verse 10, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you, that when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." In the light of an extraordinary call back to Egypt, I don't know if Moses was really thinking in his mind that that's what I would really like to do. You know, he's killed someone. The previous Pharaoh was really after him, was probably wanting to kill him. He's probably quite enjoying spending a little bit of time in the wilderness and spending time just living the quiet life And here we have this interruption, this God encounter. And he says in verse 11, who am I? What? You want me? His response is not overwhelming with faith in God. But at least we can see a little bit of humility. It might be a bit weird if God had called him and he said, right, God, sure, I'm up for it. What are we up to? It wasn't like that. And Moses' response is sometimes very much the response of a lot of us. You know, sometimes when we look at something and we think, what? That is a way out there. I could never do that. What? That is dangerous. That is risky. I'm not really up for that. That is completely out of my comfort zone. I can understand, and a lot of us could probably sympathize, why Moses wasn't in a hurry to go back to Egypt. Moses needed that reassurance. And one of the most incredible things about when God calls us is that we hear the words that he says here in verse 12. But I will be with you. And that's really important. Because if we're going to do anything for God, anything, whatever it is that he has planned for us, whether we think it's big or small or too out there or too hard or too easy, whatever it is, we need to know that God is with us. I don't know if you've ever experienced a lot of fear before. I grew up in a really big house. It was a church man's and it had 4 bedrooms. And I used to remember when my parents went away on holiday, particularly when I was like 16 plus, it was a bit scary if it was the winter and it was dark, because everything just creaked and there was always loads of noises. I remember one day I was in the house by myself and I think I'd just come back from youth group at church and there was something on and I was downstairs and then I heard this big creak on the top stair of the house and I just ran out the front door. Just like, I'm not going in that house again. I ran all the way down to the church. It was only like 5 minutes away, 10 minutes. And I said to my friends, my house is too scary. I don't want to be there anymore. Can I come to someone else's house? And they're like, Rosie, come on, we'll go back to your house and figure out what it is. And a couple of my friends came back to the house and the door was still wide open. Anyone could have come in. And we went in and there's our pussycat sitting on the top stair. You know, sometimes it's just a little bit freaky and a little bit scary when we think we're on our own. And we're there's no one there to protect us. But I always know that when my parents were in the house, I always felt safe. Because I knew that they always wanted to look after me. They always wanted to protect me. And that's the exact same way it is with God. That when God calls us, sometimes, a lot, in fact, the majority of the time, a lot of the things that he calls us to is out of our comfort zones. Because God's a God of the supernatural. God's a God who wants you to do something so that you know it's not about you, that it's all about him. It takes great faith to do things that are not comfortable. Why would God call us to do lots of things that are really comfortable? Because there's not really much faith involved and much trust involved. But when he calls us to do things that we, like Moses, who am I to do this? And then when God pulls through and he's with us and he shows us and he helps us and he empowers us, it builds our confidence up to say, wow, we do have a great God. I do serve a great God, a God who cares, a God who's compassionate about. And the God who calls us to be his partners in the work of the gospel today can be trusted to the full. The promise that God gave to Moses was reiterated by the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples. When Jesus spent that time on the earth and he was preparing to go up to heaven, he uses the words, I am with you always. You can go out and you can spread the gospel. You can go out and do miracles. You can go out and do all these things because I'm with you. It was the same promise that was given to Moses. I don't know if you've ever experienced fear or just needed to know the words that God is with you or to have that encounter of his presence. About a year and a half ago, My husband lost his job at the Grangemouth plant, and there was a lot of things going on during that time, a lot of politics up at his workplace. And even about 2 or 3 weeks before, the workers would be all told that they're possibly going to lose your jobs, everything's going to go bust, and no one's going to have any money, and all this kind of stuff was happening. And when you start to hear news like that, you start to look at your life and you start to think, okay, God, why are we here? You know, what are you calling us to? And when we're in a situation that we have no control over, one of the best things that we can do is just go to God and just say, I have no idea what's going to happen in this situation. It's going to take faith and it's going to take trust just to trust you. And I remember just particularly the week before they made the announcement that they were going to shut the Grangemouth plant, Kirk and I were just praying together, and God gave us the words of Psalm 27. This is another way that God speaks to you. And it said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? And sometimes you can just feel overcome by fear when we lose control and we have no idea what the future holds. And when we read the psalm all the way through, it talked about putting your feet on the rock. We just felt this overwhelming sense of God's presence. And I used to go and walk my dogs, and sometimes in the natural, you just start to worry and you think, oh, what about this? What about that? And then I would just speak out these words, and this overwhelming sense of God's presence would just come over me. And I would know that God was with us in that situation. And when we go through hard times, sometimes we ask about our calling. And we ask God and we ask questions. What am I called to? Why am I here? Am I doing the right job? Am I doing the right thing? And when we don't know anything, in a state, in a kind of situation where we feel desperate and completely dependent upon God, sometimes we ask these questions. And someone always said to me, Rosie, when you don't know anything anymore, go back to what the last thing is that God showed you and what you do know. And what I did know is that I am called to this church. I only work part-time. You know, I'm only on a part-time salary. It definitely wouldn't be enough to keep Kirk and I. I'm studying part-time as well. But I was really sure that God has shown me that that's what we were to do. And so in our situation, we just prayed. And we just knew that God was with us. We just experienced his presence. We were very sure of our calling here. And we just had to wait to see what God was going to do. Because we know that God is faithful. And that when God calls us, God equips us. The next day, the workers all came home. They'd lost their jobs. And we thought that was the end. We didn't know what the future was going to hold, but we knew that God was looking after us and that God was going to trust us in that situation. And then 2 days later, they got their jobs back again. And it just seemed like unbelievable, because we know that doesn't happen to everyone and that's not everybody else's story. But to experience God's presence and God speaking and to be really clear on the clarity of what God is calling us into is something incredibly powerful. And that was Moses' experience. He knew exactly. God made it really clear what he was calling him into. And maybe we'll unpack a little bit more next week about what that looks like. And the things that God put in place so that Moses would know and just know that God was with him. God is with us always. But a day did come in his experience when we look at a picture of Jesus Christ, when the presence of the Father was painfully absent from Jesus and he felt utterly alone and forsaken. Yet in the strange but wise purposes of God, that was the very moment when prisoners were set free, when evil was defeated, and God's plans to save were delivered. And at the end of the day, I just want us to, if we can take anything away from what has been shared tonight about the story of the burning bush and God's encounter with Moses, at the end of the day, the presence of God, his concern for his people, and his promises to help us are all summed up when we look into the New Testament and the story of Jesus, and they're all made real through him. And I just really encourage you as we move forward or you go away from tonight, that as we consider our call to serve God every day in our lives, personally, or in any organization or ministry that you're involved in, it's vital that we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He calls us, he equips us, he humbles us, he heals us, and he makes both his presence and power of God real in our lives. When we encounter God, everything changes. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for what we can learn about this encounter between that Moses had of you and what that looked like. And Lord, some of the things that happened in the conversations we can really sympathize with. But Lord, I thank you that you know best, and that for every single person here in this room tonight, you have a plan and you have a purpose. And some of us are very sure of what that is, and others of us are just figuring that out. And I pray more than anything as we go away that you would help us just to seek out your presence and to learn more of your heart and to read out your promises and believe them so we can live the life that you've called us to live. We just ask this in your precious name. Amen.